open wide enough to get your foot clear. It takes half an hour and hurts like sin. I wore my fetters for less than 24 hours. What it was like to wear them for months and even years I learned next day, when all the prisoners, not only the Europeans but Arab rebels and the like, were brought down from Magdala. After I'd been freed and given a breakfast of bread and tej, I was seated under guard on a pile of stones near the Red Royal Tent, and watched the captive procession winding its way slowly across the Islamgi plain, through the little hutted villages to the tents of the camp. They were still some way off when there was a commotion behind me, and here comes Theodore down the hill from Selassie with his astrologers and courtiers and the ferret Samuel. When he saw me, His Majesty gave a great halloo of greeting and came striding to me with both hands out, clasping mine as though I were a long-lost brother.
"My friend, I see you are well,"
cries he.
"I too am well, and rejoice to see you at liberty. Did you sleep well? Are you refreshed? Let me tell you what I have seen. Your army is crossing the Bikelo, and we have seen elephants descending into the ravine. What does that mean, Ras Flashman?"
I told him it meant big guns, and he rounded on his followers.
"You hear? Did I not tell you, but you doubted me? You know nothing, but the hour is coming when you will learn. Go now, assemble the leaders of the regiments, all officers, and the leaders of sections. I shall address them presently. Now, my friend, let us sit. See, your people are coming from the Amber, and will soon be with us. Let us drink to your meeting."
For a man who'd been ripe to roll in gutters only a few hours earlier, he was uncommon spry, and in full fig. A cloth of gold coat adorned with silks of many colours, and the most extraordinary pants of what looked like tinsel. He was in such cheerful fettle I wondered if he'd been using hashish, but from what I learned later he had no indulgences of that kind, no doubt because booze and fornication occupied most of his leisure time. You'd not have thought he was about to be deposed and possibly slain by an invading army, for he was all hospitality, pledging me in Tej and summoning sundry to his military bigwigs to make them known to me. Hassani, commandant of Magdala, austere and unsmiling. The portly Damash, who I already knew. Gabri, the army commander. Engeda, his chief minister. And several others whose names I disremember. Then I must be shown his artillery park below Selassie, and especially his mighty mortar, Sevastopol, an enormous lump of metal weighing 70 tons and mounted on a wagon with drag chains, which it took 500 men to pull, he told me proudly. Had I ever seen the like? In truth I hadn't, and said so admiringly, but thinking privately that no one in his right mind would have built such a piece, for at that size it couldn't be accurate. And what's the use of a gun that takes all day to position? I reckon his German workmen had simply done what he'd bidden them and kept their thoughts to themselves.
"You cannot conceive the labour of bringing this wonder to my Amber," cries he. "You have seen by road, but oh, my friend, if you have witnessed our toil through rain and storm and mud, across rivers and plains, over mountains and desert, and my faithful people on the point of exhaustion, and myself straining on the ropes as we dragged our great guns onwards and ever onward. Never was such a journey. No, not even Napoleon himself could have accomplished it."
Oh, sing us a song, do, thinks I. But you know, when I think of that park of artillery, big pieces, and that monstrous beast of a mortar, I have to admit that, mad or not, he was one hell of a sapper and gunner. 100 miles over hellish country, months on the road with his soldiers marching on their chin-straps and out of food and forage, their strength dwindling by the day, and still he'd kept them going by fear and will and example, through hostile country, for with Menelek and Gobaizi in turn, and Mastiat's Gallus on the lurk, and Napier on his way, Theodore hadn't a friend to his name on that hellish trek from Deborah Tabor.
"We had to plunder as we went,"
he told me, slapping his great mortar proudly, for all the world like some motorist showing off his new machine.
"We were like to starve, and the peasant jackals of the villages who had kissed my feet in the days of my power hung on the flanks of our army, stinging like mosquitoes when they dared, and cutting the throats of stragglers. So, when we took prisoners," says he with satisfaction, "we burned them alive. Aye, a long march and slow. Now, tell me, why does your army march so slowly, and why have they come by the salt plain?